EJ, the left has made a big point out of saying that the top 1% of wage earners in the country are very greedy, and they are taking an ever larger share of the overall national wealth. As you look at the numbers, is that really the case?
No, not at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. And what we've seen is basically for half a century now, the amount of money that the wealthy actually take home after taxes is the same share of the economy that it was, again, 50-something years ago.
As we look at that, if it's been the same for 50-some years, why is it then that the left is trying to gin up this sort of class warfare?
Well, I suppose because it's politically profitable for politicians to do so. You know, it's always very attractive for us as humans to have someone else we can blame for any of our failures, for any of our mistakes, because then it alleviates the burden on our own conscience that something that happens to us may have in some way been our fault. So, for example, I don't have to say that my lack of success is due to a lack of effort on my part. I can just simply point to a boogeyman and say that it's his fault, and he is in the wrong. And now, not only that, but he owes me something in return.
You have looked at these wealth statistics, as you pointed out, going back to 1960 here, EJ. We have, in the intervening years, particularly in the mid to later 60s, had the war on poverty that the Johnson administration undertook. Of course, we've had all manner of social welfare programs implemented, and some repealed and some re-implemented over the decades. Why is it, do you think, that despite all that effort, we're still pretty much where we were a half a century ago?
I think the short answer there is because all of those programs don't work. They don't do what they advertise themselves as doing. For example, if you tax something, you get less of it. If you subsidize something, you get more of it. Well, what happens when you subsidize things like single motherhood? Don't be surprised when you get more single motherhood. You know, what happens when you tax married couples, which is what we do in the current tax code, because there are marriage penalties built in. In other words, when two people get married and combine their incomes, they actually face a higher tax burden. What happens? Well, don't be surprised if you get lower marriage rates. And what goes hand in hand with that? Lower birth rates.
It seems that there is always an effort to approach these social problems from an economic point of view. EJ, is it really possible for economics to resolve the social ills that we see in the country?
No, it's really not possible. You know, and there's a whole different a whole host of examples that we can point to for this. But when you see people rioting and looting a Foot Locker, for example, you know, there is no reason to believe that giving those people a welfare check is somehow going to instill in them the moral rectitude that says stealing is wrong. We are not talking about the Great Depression here, where people were stealing loaves of bread to feed themselves and their children. People are stealing luxury goods out of storefront windows. That points to moral decay, not some kind of economic inequality.
So we're seeing that these social problems are not being resolved by big government spending programs. So what is the answer? Is there anything the government can do, or something the government's doing that it shouldn't do, that would help lift more people out of poverty?
Well, there's nothing really that the government can do directly. There's a lot they can do indirectly, and that involves simply getting out of the way and stopping the problems that are incentivizing this kind of bad behavior. You know, these crazy district attorneys, for example, who refuse to prosecute people for crimes. Going back to what we said earlier, what happens if you don't penalize crime? Well, don't be surprised if you get more crime. And that's what we've seen in so many of these radically left-wing cities. But if the government would stop doing things like subsidizing bad behavior, which they do through all kinds of welfare programs, then what would happen? We would get less of that bad behavior. People would be less dependent on the state, and they'd be more dependent on their families. That is a very strong incentive to have a strong family structure.
Families, of course, here, EJ, have suffered greatly over the last couple of years with the out-of-control inflation that we've experienced. Those inflation numbers appear to be coming down. Have we turned a corner? And even though we've turned a corner, are we actually seeing prices come down at all?
No, we're not seeing prices come down. I mean, you may find a price here and there, which is coming down, certainly not all the way down to where it was in January of 2021. But you may have seen certain prices like gasoline, for example, that have come down from the peak that they reached last year or maybe even the year before that in 2022. But what you're not seeing is prices going back to anywhere near what we would consider normal levels. And more importantly, where prices are today are still up so much that they have far outpaced the growth in people's earnings. In other words, yes, your income has gone up 10, 15% for some people, and that's wonderful. But when prices are up 17, 20% or more in many places, guess what? That's not so wonderful at all. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. You have effectively lost money. Your bigger paycheck buys you less.
A companion to that has been the Federal Reserve raising interest rates steadily over the last couple of years in order to curb inflation. Seems to be having somewhat of the desired effect. But as we look at the interest rate structure that we have now here, EJ, and we look at the year ahead, are the tea leaves saying that maybe the increases have come to an end and perhaps we might even see some rate cuts in the coming year?
That certainly seems to be the news coming out of the Federal Reserve. Unfortunately, what we're going to do is we're going to set ourselves up to repeat the mistakes of the 1970s, where when the Fed was nearing success and really killing inflation, it decided to backtrack and let the beast back out of its cage. So while the Fed is talking about rate cuts this year, that will have the effect of temporarily boosting the economy, at least as far as appearances go. But come 2025 and beyond, we're going to be right back on that inflation bandwagon.
We have been talking with EJ Antoni, who is a public finance economist with the Heritage Foundation. He's also a senior fellow at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. EJ, can you give us a little bit of background information on Heritage? Also, you have an op-ed at the Fox News website this past week, and I assume there's also a Heritage website where folks can go to learn more.
The Heritage Foundation exists to help the American people and American lawmakers understand the public policy issues of our times. We're here to educate, again, both the public and lawmakers alike. And we're here to not only ensure that America's future is on the right track in terms of personal freedom, liberty, and a civil society, but also to ensure that our past is remembered as well. People like the Founding Fathers, for example. You can find more about us at the website, heritage.org. You can find all of my info, the articles I publish, and all the data reviews that I monitor and opine upon on X. And the handle there is @RealEJAntoni.
EJ Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. EJ, thank you for being back with us. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
And to you.